I'm Stargate Pioneer from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the GunnaGeek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. This is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke. What is up, Team PopX?
Look at this. Hello.
We've got the whole team together.
Oh my God,
I'm so excited. I'm so bloody excited.
I'm so excited.
I just can't hide it, baby. Yeah.
Oh my God, baby.
Yes, you're a tiger.
Why don't we revert to Austin Powers?
There's a show concept.
There it is.
Oh my God, what's happening right now? I don't know, but it's pretty funny. But anyway, how have you guys been? It's been like 3 weeks since I've seen your faces.
It's been awesome, dude.
It's been way too long, Joe. I missed you guys.
I've missed you too, man. I missed you too. It's been crazy. It's been a crazy couple of weeks here. And I'm just so glad that we all can get together. Austin started a new job, and I've been working. I got a job too, and I've been working Monday through Friday myself and doing some things. So it is good that we all have time to talk about nerdy things, right?
Nerdy things are good things.
Nerdy things are great things. So we want to say hello to all of our listeners right now joining live. We have several people hanging out with us over in the PopX chat room, including Mr. Luke and Darth Baca, who are hanging out with us as well.
Hi,
so, yeah. I know they're there. So let's get this thing kicked off the right way. All right. I am Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We like to welcome everyone joining us live at the PopX.live chat room. Now come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
Yes, sir. And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed episode 72, where I gushed about Black Panther, go check out our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great past shows.
Sorry, I'm doing the travel dance.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do the travel dance. Okay.
Still making money, baby.
That's it, baby.
And I am Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky Okie. Be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after tonight's show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we'd appreciate it if you would give us some super geeky love by leaving us a 5-star rating and maybe say something nice in the review.
Nice things. I like nice things.
Yes. And if you're feeling really, really fortunate, you can give us 6 glowing stars.
I'm just saying. Infinity stones.
Give us 6 infinity stones. Can iTunes
just give us 5 and then throw in an extra one in the
Does iTunes do that? Does iTunes give you infinity stones?
They should.
I think we should write and see if iTunes can, like, we can subscribe to like infinity stones for $4.99 a month.
You're like wanting drugs or something.
Joe's a little bit obsessed with stones.
Give me all your stones right now.
I'll text my next door neighbor. I'll be, hey boy, you got some infinity stones.
It's very precious. All right, guys. All right, so don't go anywhere. We got PupX News coming at you right now, so stay tuned.
Extra, extra, read all about it. This is PupX News coming to you live on PupXCast.com.
Oh, man, Mike has the best animations. I swear, we love you to death, Mike.
I love the Muppets. I miss them.
He knows how to make me smile. He knows how to pick those ones that just like, really? You're... I love you, man. You're awesome. All right, guys. So, well, there is a big movie coming out, and I don't know if you've heard.
What's it about, Joe?
It's called Three Leprechauns. No.
There it is.
That's it. No, it's Avengers Infinity War. It may still be a little bit over a month away release, but so far the film has a thumbs up from Josh Brolin, who plays Mr. Thanos. Now, Brolin couldn't say much about the film, obviously, but he's only seen just a portion of it. So, you know, so far he's liked what he saw. Now, he said, in quote, "I've seen 30 minutes of Infinity War and thought it was amazing," Brolin said. Now, while Thanos is known as the biggest bad in Marvel Universe, Brolin explained in a previous interview that the villain also has a little bit of a heart. Quote, unquote, he goes on to say, "Yeah, I don't think he does." So that's a little bit of catch 22. So, but for his children, and he's talking about, you know, Gamora and just that whole circle, you know, Nebula and Gamora. But he says, when you see the relationship with Gamora and you see all that involves, he's like, God, I wish I could tell you, but I can't. Brolin also revealed that Avengers Infinity War will delve into Thanos' early years. Now, this is something I was hoping would happen, because we're actually going to be talking a little bit about that tonight, a little bit of origin story, because Thanos was actually bred from out of gods. He is the combination of two gods, you know, and so interesting. So hope we get to see that on the big screen, his birth, his origin story, if you will.
Yeah, that's insane. And it's been a while since we've had a show. So funny story for you guys. I was planning on going to see Joe on the opening weekend.
This is true.
And then about 3 days later, Marvel just comes out and says, hey, we're pushing it to the April 27th.
After I buy
my tickets. So now I'm seeing Avengers again in IMAX in Orlando on May 4th. But you know what? Even if it's not opening weekend, I'm still excited to see you, Joe. But we get the movie a week earlier. That's pretty cool, right?
It is cool. At least we'll have something to talk about. But at the same time, it's going to be really cool to see the film with you as well. So
it doesn't happen that movies get pushed ahead often.
I've never
when I purchase a plane ticket.
It's never happened in the history of Marvel, from what I know.
It's a rarity that anything is coming out earlier than planned.
I'm telling you, it's so bizarre. It's so strange that the happens to be on the same day that Austin Burke purchased his Southwest Airline or whatever ticket. He is that they, oh, you know what? Let's push it back a week.
Yeah, we're going to push it. Screw you, Austin.
Yeah, whatever.
Screw you.
Anyway.
You know what? I've had enough of Marvel. Let's talk about DC.
All right, okay? Go for it. All right, go ahead.
Picking me off. DC has released a teaser trailer for Action Comics number 1000. Wow. The hugely anticipated anniversary issue will kick off Marvel superstar, Brian Michael Bendis's run as the primary architect of DC's Superman mythology. The trailer features no new artwork, but rather focuses on a number of images from throughout Action Comics' 80-year history. This is cool. Near the end, there is a rapid-fire countdown beginning with the Oz effect and concluding with Action Comics number 1000, featuring the issue's main cover by DC co-publisher Jim Lee. Action Comics number 1000 will be in stores on April 18th. So what do you guys think of this? This is pretty cool, and I'm a huge fan of Brian Michael Bendis's work.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be such a monumental issue, too, because you think about it, I don't think any other comic book has reached the 1000 milestone yet other than Superman.
Insane.
So Action Comics goes back to 1939, 37.
Wow.
Something like that. And it's, that's unreal.
That's highly impressive for anything to continue yeah. that long of a run and still have a want, a need from the public, even at this point. It's still
You think about it, Lindsay. Think about 12 issues a year.
That's a lot of content, people. That's a lot of artwork. That's a lot of comic books,
dude. I ain't lying.
That's a
you guys
lot want to
catch
comic
up?
Books.
You think we can get it done in a weekend?
You think we can binge? No, we can't binge. Binge
Do you think
read.
They have comics on audio?
I don't know. That's
so
weird.
Many hours.
No, you don't do that. Don't do that.
Can we do the audio MP3 version, please?
Can I have the audiobooks?
I'm not finishing when I'm 60.
1 through 1,000.
Oh, that's not right at all. It'll take me 30 years to do that. All right. So, Lindsay Badger, you got some more news for us.
We're gonna somber the tone down just a little bit.
Oh, no. Okay.
You guys heard about Stephen Hawking passing away. The Cambridge University physicist and best-selling author who roamed the cosmos from a wheelchair, pondering the nature of gravity and the origin of the universe, and becoming an emblem of human determination and curiosity, died early Wednesday at his home in Cambridge, England. He was 76 years old. That's not that old, you guys.
No,
it's
not.
Really not.
It's really not.
A university spokesman confirmed the death, and it said that not since Albert Einstein has a scientist so captured the public imagination and endeared himself to tens of millions of people around the world. This is really, really sad. I know I saw lots and lots of things in my newsfeed yesterday about him, lots of quotes,
mm-hmm.
and just really, really enlightening. And I guess I know of him, but I didn't know the details of his life. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of reading this kind of intrigued me to kind of dive in a little bit deeper mm-hmm. and just an amazing human being.
I think honestly though, it's really cool to be able to experience a modern day Albert Einstein in the modern world. And yeah. you know, I think every generation has that individual who is just exceeds and mm-hmm. and just, you know, thinks outside of the box in ways that the normal human mind can't. And I mm-hmm. think that's where definitely Mr. Stephen Hawking excelled. And his voice was even used in the Pink Floyd song it's so cool how his voice was used in the adaptations of a Pink Floyd song, and even he made cameos. His voice box actually was used in the Simpsons episodes, and so you know, identifying with pop culture and also beyond that. Hey, Michael Murray, what's up, dude? Welcome to the show. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely a great loss for society. But you know, at the same time, I'm relieved to know that his pain and suffering that he had to go through with his disease is no longer there. So, all right, hats off to you and the Hawking family.
He's reached legendary status, so he will always be remembered.
Yeah, he's a legend for sure. Awesome. Modern day Albert Einstein there,
you
ladies.
You can't ask for more out of a life.
Nope.
Really? There's a really good movie if you guys haven't seen it, and all you PopX viewers as well. It's called A Theory of Everything, starring our boy from Fantastic Beasts, Eddie Redmayne, and he actually won the Oscar for that role.
Really?
It came out, I believe, in 2014. I think it's the same year as Birdman, but it was a very, I mean, if you want to know about him, I'm sure there's documentaries out there, but this movie, I think, captured everything he was about and a very accurate performance. So I encourage you guys to go watch that movie if you kind of want to celebrate his life.
Nice. Absolutely. Nice pull, Mr. Burke. Nice pull.
Gotcha.
All right, so moving on from some sad news back to some more enlightening news that brings us some smiles. We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. Director James Gunn keeps on finding ways to expand the franchise mythos. Now, whether it's through continued discussions of the many Easter eggs hidden among Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2, or through the film's super popular soundtracks. In a surprising move, Gunn has now created an awesome mix, Volume Zero, a prequel installment of Guardians of the Galaxy mistapes, which Gunn has now debuted over on Spotify. And he said, in quote, "I finally got around to making a Spotify playlist for the awesome mix Volume One and Zero. Oh my gosh, the secret personal mix I made to play on the set of Guardians Volume 1. Now, especially for the drunken partying scenes in the boot of Jemiah. Enjoy," Gunn said, and end quote.
Wow.
And
man, I love James Gunn.
Me too.
I do too.
So awesome.
I do know. I do know that he spent going into Volume 2, and this was documented. We may have. I think as we even covered this on one of the news segments a few months back, several months before Guardians 2 came out, that he went into this I don't want to say cocoon phase, but he went into this. He shut all the doors, shut all the windows, and just listened to music from that genre like nonstop until he found the songs that spoke to him and fit the story for Peter Quill. So pretty awesome little tidbit. And hey, if you guys want to experience it, Volume 0 on Spotify.
Can I share a cool Guardians moment with you guys?
Absolutely.
Okay. You guys know I have a daughter. She's 7. Mm-hmm. And whenever Volume 1 came out, she was still a little too young. She was still, no, it's not cartoons. I don't want to see it. So probably about a month ago, we sat the kids down and we watched, you know, Volume 1. Mm-hmm. Then the next weekend, we watched Volume 2. My daughter was so invested. She paid such close attention to the storyline. Oh, I was really surprised that she was into it. You know, do you remember the first time Yondu died?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh,
she was a blubbering baby ball mess.
That one hurt. It really did.
She got up because she was watching on the floor in her beanbag chair. She got up out of her chair and came and crawled in my lap.
Oh, no. My gosh.
I cried so hard with her.
Yeah.
It was just a beautiful moment that, you know, thank you, James Gunn, for creating such an emotional connection with the character.
That one line, you know, I ain't your father, son, I'm your daddy.
Oh my gosh. One of the best lines ever in a Marvel movie.
The fact that she was able
Michael
at such a young age to connect that deeply with the storyline was just was the first big movie for her that I was just.
And Yondu started out a villain and became the hero in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great. Anyway, I mean, that's
anyways,
just.
That's a great
feel good story. That's a good story for sure.
I think that's a testament to James Gunn too. I mean, the guy can just—he can do anything. He can give you a moment or a character, and just he can think about it for days.
Well, he knows how to pull on your heartstrings.
He does.
He knows how to do that very well, and so that's why a lot of people resonate with Guardians.
And he pulled on mine. So let's shift into Black Panther. Another movie that really, I mean, it tugged on the heartstrings, but it also has been tugging on the box office for the last couple of weeks. Like, as Black Panther heads into its fourth weekend.
God, this is unreal.
Riding projections, another massive box office haul, and could end up crossing the $600 million mark, wait for it, at the domestic. This is
that's
in the United
US
States.
U.S. domestic box office.
U.S., okay, by the time the weekend is done. Currently, Black Panther has now cleared $1 billion worldwide. It passed The Dark Knight, the number one solo superhero story, and it's going to catch the Avengers potentially in the United States.
So is the Avengers the number one?
The Avengers overall is the number one superhero movie of all time, followed by Black Panther. But Black Panther could still catch it domestically. I don't think it will worldwide.
Wait, you know what? You know, I think we said it on our last podcast. I think Black Panther not only appeals to the Marvel fans, but to the actual culture and society of the African culture, and just everything from the music to just the style and the tribes and the color and the vividness and the beauty.
Yes,
it resonates with everybody, regardless of your skin color. And I think that is so awesome. And I think it's probably why this movie is selling so much, you know, at the box office.
Yes. And there's a lot of people seeing this movie that do not go see films. I mean, I have seen countless stories on television of, oh, yeah, I watched this movie. I've not watched a movie in 4 years.
Yeah.
Hey, but listen, Avengers Infinity War, those people are going to be hungry. If they really like Black Panther that much,
they're going
to be hungry to see more in Wakanda. And you see Wakanda in the Infinity War trailer.
Wakanda is a huge part of the from what I gather from seeing all the trailers, a lot of this takes place in Wakanda.
Actually, there is a tidbit, okay, that came out, and which magazine was it? I believe it was E!
Entertainment. Yeah,
correct me if I'm wrong. So apparently, one minor nugget, so minor spoilers, but it's not a big deal. Vision is being hidden in Wakanda by the Avengers, so Thanos can't find him.
That would make sense.
That, it's kind of a rumor, but they kind of came out and said it in the magazine. This is the MacGuffin. He's after Vision So what a plot point. I mean, what do you guys think of that? I think that's interesting.
It sounds like to me he needs. Well, we've seen in the trailer that he does find Vision.
Yeah.
We've seen that part because there's the scene there where he's literally taking the stone out of Vision's skull pretty much. Yeah. And so I think it's going to come down to – I think a lot of things too, people are like, oh, there's going to be, you know, the climactic battle. I think Avengers Infinity War is going to be a setup to Infinity Gauntlet. Now, I hear there's a lot of rumors going on around, you know, the name of the fourth Avengers film. And there has actually been some prototype toys that was released with the name Avengers Infinity Gauntlet attached to it. So they're already starting to use that word. So you may hear that word a lot more. But going back to it, I think the basis of Infinity Gauntlet is going to be – Infinity War, excuse me, is going to be Thanos finding all six of the stones. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come down to the Soul Stone. It's going to come down to the last one. And that's where it's going to probably pick up on the second movie. And that's why it's going to be called the Gauntlet, because at that point, the Gauntlet will be fully assembled. So it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. And it's cool to use this as a visual reference, you know?
I love that.
I'm like, the Soul Stone, and we've got the Space Stone, and we've got the Time Stone right here, and Power Stone's right in the middle, and this is the Tesseract Stone.
It's a nice little tie into our topic.
It is. Isn't that great? Yeah. Dumb phonics works for me. All right, moving on. Moving on with the news, guys. We get so carried away on this. It looks like Hawkins, Indiana is getting some visitors in Stranger Things for the third season of its hit Netflix series, and is looking to cast three new characters. Mayor Larry Klein, described as a classic 80s-style slick politician. Now, Klein is described as a pathetic and driven only by his own interests. The studio is also looking for a male 40s to 60s to fill in the role. His name is going to be called Bruce, a morally compromised new reporter in his 50s. Bruce was described as an outwardly sexist, overweight, and bedraggled individual. Now, the third one is Patricia Brown. Patricia seems to be filling the role of a sweet neighborhood elder. The studio is looking for a woman in her 70s for the role, which will see her spending a lot of time tending to her garden and offering her advice to the neighborhood kids. Now, the Duffers are expected to begin production on the third season of Stranger Things later this year, and it is expected to return to Netflix in later 2018 or sometime early 2019. So. Yeah, Stranger Things, Volume 3, Season 3.
It's not a lot. Like, look at this. She's literally holding 11.
Yeah. Like, I love visuals. I love visuals. Visuals are good.
Yeah, I just randomly have toys just at an arm's reach.
Well, I mean, it's not a lot of information, but if you guys look at the roles, you see the word reporter, and as you guys know from season 2, this information got out to the public.
Yeah.
So how's that going to be handled? Like, where's the storyline fall in there? I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. Demogorgons in the real world. I mean, it's a crazy thing, but now it's a real thing. So that's where we're going to leave that. But well, I think that's the end of the news for this week, right, guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Well, you know, I don't want. Part of me wants to roll the spoiler alert warning, but I guess I'm not going to because we've not really seen the movie. But all right, so we're going to get in now to the origin story of the Infinity Gauntlet. And we've broken this down into several parts for you. And hopefully this is going to help you and kind of fuel that desire going into the theater. Because a lot of people are like, okay, so what is the gauntlet? How was it formed? Who is Thanos? Where did he come from? What is his drive? What is his obsession? And why is he wanting to wreck everybody? What's the deal? And so, you know, of course, we've seen bits and fragments of this leading all the way up through the past 10 years. Now, mind you, this is the 10-year anniversary of MCU. And jeez. I know, right? We go back all the way to Iron Man 2008, you know, and I remember watching that in a theater. And I'm just like, wow, Tony Stark on the big screen. This is crazy. And then he takes his glasses off, Iron Man. But 10 years. And so it's all the end scene credits, all the strive for the gems and the stones or whatever you want to call them. They're all the same thing, basically, through all the movies from every every superhero in the franchise, from the Tesseract to the Aether to, Doctor Strange's pendant, they mm-hmm. all are part of a bigger story leading up to Thanos. And so tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to give you some educational background. And it's going to be a lot of back and forth and a little bit of conversation, but we've arranged it in a way that's going to be kind of entertaining and fun for you. And so I want to talk a little bit about it. And so before we dive in, head first to Infinity War, we first need to kind of understand the artifact in which the entire war is started over in the first place. And that, of course, is the Infinity Gauntlet. Now, wow. I am, of course, talking about this amazing glove, we've seen now in probably, two or three little cameos in the end scene credits now, all the way back to actually Thor Ragnarok when Hela knocks it over and it's a fake. So we're going to talk about that. Now, Thanos was actually created by a individual known as Jim Starlin. Now, in all places, in a psychology class. Look at that. There's Mr. Starlin. And inspired on the ideas of a repressed anger and obsession, Starlin doodled images of Thanos and Drax in his notebook. So he created the two together at the same time. Now, as we see Drax today in the MCU, they're kind of a different paths.
Yeah.
But when he created them, they were originally twins or kind of coinciding with each other. Now, early in his career, he was asked to fill in on Iron Man number 55. And Iron Man number 55 is probably one of the most pivotal comic books in the Marvel Cinematic Universe because it introduces the Blood Brothers, it introduces Thanos, and it also introduces, if I'm not mistaken, Magus for the first time. So we get to hear, this comic book literally introduced all three elements in one comic book, in one story. And so we get all three of these at one pop in, like, I would say 1964 or something like that. And so talking about that, he was asked, not confident that anything would have actually take or have a crack at it in the mainstream comic world, Starlin tried to stuff the book with as many ideas as possible. We kind of understood that, including Thanos. And many have missed Thanos as a carbon copy of Mr. Jack Kirby. We've kind of talked about that a little bit. Like, well, Thanos is just a carbon copy of Darkseid. Maybe he was inspired by Darkseid. But Starlin freely admitted that that's where he drew his inspiration from. Now, Starlin, like any sane human, is a devout Kirby worshiper. I mean, if you have any love and affinity for comic books, you love Mr. Jack Kirby, myself included. And so, but he originally patterned Thanos after another new god, Metron. Now, upon seeing Starlin's sketches, editor-in-chief Roy Thomas took a shining to the encouraged Starlin and to beef him up and make him more of a dark side type clone, but even more than that. Now, what started out as a lift from Kirby soon became something totally unique. Now, Thanos' name was also derived from the Greek god, the idea of Thanatos, which is the personification of death and oblivion. Kind of fits the moniker, right? So, and so the Infinity Gauntlet is a cosmic artifact that grants the wearer of it, whoever yields it, complete mastery over the six Infinity Gems in it, which is time, space, power, soul, mind, and reality, granting omnipotence. Omniscience and omnipresence. So you are Alpha, Omega, and then some. Does that make sense? You become godlike. And so it's really crazy when you think about that. So it was assembled by the mad titan Thanos, who used the gauntlet's power to wipe out half of the universe to impress his love for Mistress Death.
Oh, that's
he's
sweet.
Obsessed with death. So Mistress Death resurrected Thanos to correct an imbalance in the fabric of universe in realization that there are more people alive than ever died. Think about that. That's an interesting concept. So she brought him back from the dead. Now we're going to talk about his how he was born and how he was conceived, and you'll understand why she had to bring him back from the dead. But so she brought him back from the dead and gave him the gauntlet. And with the agreement that to do something about all the living in the present that day. So Thanos spent time in the Infinity Well. Now, this is where he actually was able to go in and just practice with the stones. It's just, if you think about Doctor Strange, how they were able to go into that one void area surrounded by glass and practice their craft without affecting the reality world, that's kind of what the Infinity Well was. And so the supposed source of all universal knowledge. And in his research, he discovered the true nature of the Infinity Gems. And so he then sought out the gems from the unwary owners, the in-betweeners, the elders of the universe. And he assembled the six Infinity Stones on his own golden glove, creating what has become and known as the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, so, isn't it beautiful?
It is beautiful. Oh. It
is such a hopeless romance. You know,
the problem with this whole story is Thanos is out looking for stones, and the truth of the matter is, I got them all right here.
Oh!
Yeah, so they're also pretty, but I got his stones, and he can't do anything about it.
So what you're saying is he's coming to Orlando for you in the movie.
I think he's coming here. Yep. Look at that.
So I think you can take a vacation to Wakanda.
Yeah, you might want to go hide out, bro. That's all I'm saying.
Book those tickets real quick.
Get out of there, son. Get out of there. No, I'm coming.
Okay. All right.
But so I'm going to take over here, and I want to talk about Thanos' heyday, right? So he was like Jordan. He spent time practicing with the gyms and got really good at it. You know what I mean? Spent time on the basketball court. That was my joke. He kept his promise to Mistress Death by eliminating 50% of the universe's population.
Dang.
Typical weekend for me. Yeah. All of the Earth's mightiest superheroes that remained went after Thanos to stop him. They needed someone who knew Thanos like no one else does, better than Thanos himself. So here's where we get into Adam Warlock. So he stepped in to help Earth and its heroes. Thanos lost the gauntlet to Nebula, and she subsequently lost it to Warlock. Mm. He took the gauntlet and became a god.
Okay. Mm.
In order to make himself a noble god, he subsequently expelled all good and evil from his body, creating the Magus and the Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shortly afterwards, he gained the power of the gauntlet. The Living Tribunal, so you've heard this before.
Oh, yeah, from Doctor Strange.
On this show, appeared and forced Warlock to give up his power, and Eternity declared that the gems could never be used together again.
Stop. You just said, what? Eternity. What did Peter Quill say when his father touched his forehead? Oh, snap.
And his eyes were glowing.
His eyes were glowing with the universe. So, does this tie into MCU? You bet your bottom dollar. Because they've already dropped the Living Tribunal and Eternity in MCU movies.
Are you kidding me?
It's all happening.
It's happening. Okay,
that is insane. No, that's insane. The gems were split up among Warlock and his closet.
Whatever he does in the background is fine with him.
Hey, we're not judging Warlock. We're just here to tell a story. His closest companions, Moondragon, Drax, Pip, Gamora, and secretly giving the last one, what are you doing, man, to Thanos. The group minus Thanos became the Infinity Watch.
Yep. There you go.
Those gold people. You got to watch out for those gold
people. There's the Infinity Watch. So the Infinity Watch is the watchers and keepers of the actual stones, gems themselves. And to make sure that Thanos or anybody else who's seeking the gauntlet cannot assemble them again. So they're split throughout all the realms of the universe. So interesting. Now, Austin, give us a little backstory about Thanos, man.
Well, if you want to hear some backstory, I got a lot. Okay, so on Saturn's moon of Titan, lived a colony of Eternals, and Thanos was born as one of the last sons of the original colonists, Mentor and Swisson.
Mm-hmm.
However, he was born misshapen and monstrous, like me, in comparison to the other Eternals.
Something wrong with you, man.
Sorry. Particularly his handsome and carefree brother, Star Fox.
That's cool.
And Thanos grew into a melancholy, brooding individual, consumed with the concept of death. So more than any of his people, Thanos sought out personal power and increased strength, endowing himself with cybernetic implants until he became more powerful than any of his brethren. So we hear the word cybernetic implants. You look at Nebula in Guardians 2, got some
cybernetic implants.
You got to watch out implants. For those brooders. You never know.
You do, up. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I think that's interesting because he does it to himself, and then you see him later on do it to his daughter. That's just a great story, and not a great story, but it's just an interesting story all around. So he becomes more powerful. It's scary, honestly, because Thanos at this point is turning into what we know as Thanos that we're going to see in the movie, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So at some point he was exiled from his community. Although the accounts differ as to its cause, some say it was because he committed a crime by being the first to create a weapon. Thanos himself once claimed that he vivisected his own mother in an attempt to investigate how someone consumed with death, such as himself, could have come into being. Now that is a sad story.
He Thanos dissected his mom, dude.
That's literally horrifying.
Yeah,
there's you an R-rated Marvel.
That's
movie.
So you
have nightmares now.
This guy's a bad mamma jamma. That's what we're trying to give you that picture here. Now go ahead,
He's
Austin. Continue on.
Yeah, it's straight up horror. So Thanos believes that death had rejected him after his failure with the Cosmic Cube, and so he began searching the universe for the powerful soul gems, one of which was used by Adam Warlock. So Thanos had also learned of the threat of Magus, a future version of Adam Warlock who would threaten Thanos' own plans. Thanos was determined to make sure that the future of Magus would never occur. Using time travel, he created his own perfect pawn for his future struggle, the deadliest woman in the universe. He rescued Gamora as an infant and trained her to be his personal assassin.
Which we see that in Guardians.
That is so cool how that ties in together. So he also joined forces with Adam Warlock to oppose the Magus, who was using his world-conquering Universal Church of Truth to create a fanatical empire. So then Thanos rejected death and later regarded himself as the god death. So this is where we see everything kind of tying into Thanos is now he's the god of death, which is horrifying.
Wow.
Jeez. And he was obsessed with death, and he ended up controlling the balance of basically everything. So what we're seeing here is Thanos is turning into the Thanos that we know, but before this point, even I didn't know very much about his backstory. Yeah. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think before Lindsay comes in and actually starts giving us some information about Infinity War, let's stop here and talk for just a quick moment about everything that's leading up to this point. Thanos, you know, he was basically come from elders on the moon of Titan, and they are Eternals. They're celestial beings. They're along the lines of Peter Quill's father, who is a celestial. So they have, that's why, you know, the Eternity name came up, and you've got the Living Tribunal and all that stuff. That's why all these names are coming out. And Thanos becomes so empowered with the obsession of death that he can overcome death himself. And in many ways he does. And what happens is in the comics, according to the comic books, when he kills 50%, he actually reverts time back, and everybody in the MCU worships Thanos as a god. And that's when you get the sub-Marvel genre. And that's when everybody's kind of wearing like a uniform-looking red and black colors and stuff like that, and it becomes more of a darker MCU. All the characters are still trying to do their own thing, but they all have different motives, living different lives, and it becomes this total flip side. I can't remember the Earth. They call it like Earth 313 or some kind of crazy 618 or something like. I can't remember. I should know it. I don't know it. But I'm curious to see if the time jump and the killing and the half of the entire universe population. I'm curious to see if the time jump and that will make its debut into the movie. I don't know.
So basically, Thanos started out on like a love quest.
For death.
Got himself
for
way
death.
Into.
Yeah.
And he kind of got obsessed with what he was doing. Instead
pretty much. Pretty much.
In the relationship. I've taken.
Well, if you wield the gauntlet with all the gems intact, you can. You are omnipresent, omnipotent. You can be anywhere at any time, and you know everything that's going on at any moment. And it doesn't matter. And so you can revert time. You can go back 50 years or 5,000 years. You can go ahead 50 years or 50,000 years. And so you just think about, I mean, how can somebody, do you see how Thanos is so much different than Darkseid?
Yes.
There's a lot more to it.
How do you stop it?
Well, Adam Warlock. Adam Warlock is the only one that can stop it. And that's why Adam Warlock has to come on the scene. Adam Warlock is the only one that can stop Thanos.
Wow.
because Adam Warlock is actually Magus from the future, and Adam Warlock, when he yields it, becomes even greater than
help
than
us, God. Adam Warlock, you're our only hope.
Pretty much, yeah. All right, Lindsay Badger is going to give us a little info about Infinity War.
You ready to dive into the war?
Yeah, let's do
this.
War.
All right. During the Infinity War, the Magus traveled across dimensions and collected 5 cosmic cubes. He planned to make a machine that would help him acquire the Infinity Gauntlet that would be free from the Living Tribunal's decree that the gems would no longer work in unison. The Magus forced Eternity into a coma-like state and created warped doppelgangers of every hero on Earth, with including the clone of Thanos, to work as his right-hand man.
So that solidifies what I just said. He made doppelgangers of everybody to serve him.
Spidey versus Spidey.
Yes.
Earth's mightiest heroes were forced to team up with Thanos and Galactus to stop Magus. Warlock took back all the gems and tried to use the gauntlet with little success. They realized that the ruling from Eternity was still in effect. Galactus traveled to speak with Eternity and the Living Tribunal to have the ruling on the use of the gauntlet reversed. However, Eternity was the only entity that could reverse the decree. Excuse me. But he was still in a coma. Galactus set out about restoring him with the help of Gamora. Meanwhile, Magus kidnapped Warlock, stealing the Infinity Gauntlet, and held them prisoner in his citadel. Eternity was brought out of his coma long enough to reverse his ruling, and the gauntlet became functional once more.
So Eternity had a spell cast over the gauntlet itself to limit its power, and so Thanos had to go back to Eternity to lift the ban on the power. All right.
So Magus began adjusting to his new power and unleashed all of his doppelgangers against Earth's heroes. Magus then froze everyone and teleported them into his citadel to become his trophies. Well, that's fun. That's kind of Grandmaster style. but he was ambushed by Thanos, who had been fighting on his own doppelganger in another part of the citadel. Warlock broke free of his restraints and grabbed onto the gauntlet. Because of his greater knowledge of how to use the gauntlet and the fact that the reality gem, which Warlock inserted into the gauntlet, was fake, he was able to overpower Magus and absorb him back into his body.
Mm-hmm.
Eternity and Infinity appeared, saying that no matter what the circumstances, the gems would never work in unison ever again.
Wow.
The gems were divided up once again amongst the Infinity Watch.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Magus, you've heard us say that name. That is future version of Adam Warlock. That's like Cable coming back from Deadpool, if you think about it. All right, so if Magus is in the future, Magus comes back and they're fighting, and Magus is trying to get the gauntlet for power. Adam Warlock comes on the scene and just absorbs himself, which is Magus. He absorbs himself and gets rid of him altogether.
Jeez.
So... So now we're going to talk about Illuminati. Let's talk about Illuminati. Now, this is where the Fantastic Four comes in. All right, so Reed Richards calls the group together and reveals to them that he has been gathering the Infinity Gems with the gauntlet, and 3 of the gems already are in his possession. Now, after they manage to gather the remaining gems, the Watcher appears. We've seen the Watcher. Remember that from Guardians? Yeah. The big guys with the big heads. All right, so the Watcher appears before them and warns Reed that the power and the gauntlet contains is way too much for one man to wield on his own. Now, after some convincing, Reed gives up the gems, which are then divided up between the group, and with the help of the Watcher, are hidden far away from where anyone else may find them. Now, during the New Avengers, the Illuminati assembled the Infinity Gauntlet to prevent a universal incursion from destroying the 2 universes that were colliding with each other. Now, Captain America wore the gauntlet. He physically put it on and pushed the other Earth away from Earth 616.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard in my life.
He literally wielded it and pushed the other Earth away so the two Earths would not collide.
That's insane.
That is mind-blowing. I just, how do you...
Wow.
So, I'm just going to leave that right there. But all right, so Captain America, so due to the immense amount of power required, there was a side effect which destroyed 5 of the 6 Infinity Stones and caused the time gem to ultimately disappear. Huh. Now, I do need to mention one small detail here. And to the other continuities on the Earth and in the Marvel Universe. In Ultimate Marvel Universe, the Infinity Gems actually combine to form 2 separate gloves.
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah. They are assembled by the various members of the Ultimates before being stolen by Reed Richards and his team of Dark Ultimates, with the Hulk initially donning them to battle his former teammates. The gauntlet and gems are later shattered, and the Dark Ultimates are defeated. And jeez. I have a really cool image here to show you guys. Let me see if I can pull it up here right quick. This is the Incredible Hulk wielding the Infinity Gauntlet. Check that out.
That's, dude.
Is that not sick? I mean, come on. That's just crazy.
He's wearing both of them.
Yeah. No, wait, remember, they actually tear them apart. It becomes two to keep the gems more separated from each other.
Okay.
Crazy. So, Austin.
Well, what are these crazy gems that you're talking about?
Well, Austin is going to give us the lowdown here, because this we're getting towards the end of this segment, but Austin gets a really cool, distinct honor to tell us about the gems and their limitations and their power. So, Austin Burke.
Well, y'all, if you want some gems, I got them. Okay. We've got a total of 6. You can look at Joe right now. He's doing his little...
I feel like I'm on QVC right now.
Act it's now while supplies last.
Telling you what we got.
Just turn that around there like
6
that.
6 easy payments.
Of however much you won't pay, baby. All right, so we have 6 gems here, and I think this is very interesting because even I sometimes have trouble distinguishing which gem is which, and of course, in the movies, they're not called gems, they're called stones, but to me, they are the gems, and you can see Joe is holding them right there. Look at that man's stones. Aren't they beautiful?
I have some beautiful stones, man. These are great. These are
some beautiful art.
They're so...
I like them.
They're so celestial.
Are you tickling?
I am. I'm tickling the soul stone.
Ain't even right.
Yeah.
Well... I want to start with my personal favorite one, the one that I was most interested in. This is the time gem. So the time gem, as you can see right there, total control over all aspects of time, including time travel, stopping time, slowing down, or speed up flow.
Green.
Of time. Accelerating or slowing down / aging. So like Joe said, I mean, this is the one that we saw in Doctor Strange. And personally, I think this is the one that is his stones just lit up. I think this is the one that's the most interesting, because this, Joe and Lindsay, do you guys not agree with me? I think this one's going to majorly play into Infinity.
Absolutely. The time jump is going to be crazy, man. Rock it.
Especially if we start seeing some deaths that Marvel potentially wants to.
We have a question in the chat. Is there toys inside the stones, like Kinder Eggs?
Are there? Oh, man. I don't know.
Have you tried to crack one open?
No, it's speaking to me. Hold on a minute. It's whispering. The ether is whispering sweet nothings in my ear. Hold on. Oh.
Well, that's kinky.
He's so powerful.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Okay. So, yeah, like I said, the time gem is awesome. So now we're moving on to the space gem, or the space stone. This is the one that we saw in Thor, Captain America, and the Avengers, otherwise known to us as the Tesseract. This is limitless manipulation of space, allowing for teleportation, dimensional manipulation, and creation of wormholes. Of course, we see this in the Avengers when Loki shows up from his little portal and he's like, boom! Yeah, that's all I got. Okay, so next up,
that was going to be helpful.
Exactly what he said, too. The next one is the Soul Gem. So the Soul Gem, my voice, the Soul Gem is the one that we haven't seen yet in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's this one right here. Adam Warlock.
This is the key. This is seriously, this is the one that's going to play majorly when it comes to how is Thanos going to get that sixth stone. This is limitless manipulation of souls, both alive and dead. Also, it has shown to be able to evolve or devolve beings, oh my God, a being's physical self as well as their mental capacities. So how is this going to factor in to these films? My
unreal,
absolute
dude.
Goodness. Yeah. That is
godlike power.
So next up is the reality gem. So the reality stone, reality gem, is the one that we saw in Thor: The Dark World. That is the Aether. It's currently, well, not currently, but it was located in, I believe, the Collector's Museum. I don't know if he still has it. I can't really remember, but that's the last time.
I think it's still there.
So somehow Thanos has to get that, and that is the gem that locally or universally alters the natural laws of the universe to the wielder's will. So this one is powerful as well, and combined with the others, you can see how that's going to cause a lot of trouble.
Yes.
Next up, we have the power gem. So this controls all of the power in the universe. It can be used to augment or inhabit any force. And of course, the power stone, power gem, is the one that we saw in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
The one that took the entire Guardians of the Galaxy to touch just to make sure that they didn't blow up. And they were lucky that they didn't, because Star-Lord ended up being not completely human. And finally, we have the mind gem. So we all know what this one is. This was the one that was in Loki's staff. It's the mind stone. We saw this in the Avengers, Winter Soldier, Age of Ultron, and Civil War. It was the Chitauri scepter. And this one taps the user into the universal consciousness, allowing for unlimited manipulations of psionic powers, including telepathy and telekinesis. So we see Loki do this in the movies. He's manipulating people, and he turns Hawkeye into a bag of mush. Now we are talking about some limitations. You think these things are all powerful, but there is always a catch. So the Infinity Gauntlet only works in the universe that it's from. This is why Darkseid, pictured below, could do nothing with it if he was to touch it. So if Marvel ever crossed over with DC, this thing would be useless if it was in DC's universe. And since the end of Infinity War, Eternity states that let it be known the power that the Living Tribunal represents will never again allow the gems to work in unison, no matter what the crisis. This is stating that the gems will never be able to work together again. Are we going to see something like this
I kind of hope so, honestly, because I mean, that would be a great way to wrap it up and to wrap up that legacy of the MCU.
Mm-hmm. So yes, absolutely. It'd be a great way, I believe, to transition, like you said, Joe,
but
into something new, because we don't want to keep using the same thing over and over again. So I really hope that's how it
There's a reason why I said picture below, because I didn't really actually have time to pull a picture of Darkseid. But there is a picture of Darkseid wielding something. And I don't want to give it away, but
I've never seen
Lindsay's going to spoil that for us here in a minute, but I'll let you finish up.
Wow. But guys, basically, you have the most powerful thing in the universe, which is the Infinity Gauntlet, if it holds all six stones. And I believe this is going to be the ultimate decision on whether or not we're going to continue to see our heroes. Because, and honestly, I think this might be a show topic at some point, Joe. I was thinking about it a little earlier.
Yeah.
Who are we going to see die in Avengers Infinity?
Predictions. I mean, that's it. Avengers Infinity War predictions.
That would be an awesome show.
The universe.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, there are so many characters in this movie. No one knows the future. And I think that's the most brilliant thing about this movie coming up. So I'm excited about it. And I know you guys are. And it's going to be epic.
Lindsay Badger, you get the beautiful honor of telling us about the gauntlet.
Ordered your brand new set of Infinity Stones in your six easy payments. Might as well throw the gauntlet in your cart as well.
Yeah. I mean, you need something to hold it, like a cup holder.
That's the display. I mean, really. Okay. But really, the Infinity Gauntlet itself has no power. Just the stones do, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's merely a device to contain all the gems in one location. Anyone with the knowledge of the whereabouts of the gems can obtain the gauntlet. But it takes much more than holding the gauntlet to wield its power. Like the gems themselves, it takes much knowledge and discipline to accurately use the near infinite power of the gauntlet to become a god. Ultimately, the power of the infinity gauntlet is not meant for mortals. Mere mortals can't hold this glove.
No.
Mere mortals.
No.
As they are not meant to be gods. It's evident in conversations between Thanos and Adam Warlock. Both have achieved and lost their godhood. Mm-hmm. Both had voluntarily given up their power, realizing it was not theirs to have. After giving up their power, the knowledge and the godliness they had slowly melted away, being a haunting reminder of the immense power and responsibility that they once had. Now, this is kind of an interesting list that we have here of the people that have actually wielded the Infinity Gauntlet. And some of them we've mentioned already, but some of them we haven't yet. So I think it's kind of a neat list. Thanos, obviously. We mentioned earlier Nebula.
Mm.
Adam Warlock. Magus. Spidey. Mm. Mr. Yes. Spider-Man himself. Mr. Fantastic. Professor X. Iron Man.
Cool.
We mentioned earlier Captain America. Doctor Doom. Black Panther.
Wow, that one's a cool one.
That is a cool one. And Darkseid. Yes, the supervillain from the DC Comics.
Look at that. There it is.
During the 90s Marvel versus DC crossover, he wielded the gauntlet, but later discarded it because it had no use to him.
That's not even right.
Because he wasn't in the... I mean... Yeah, the DC universe, the gauntlet only works in the universe, right?
Yeah, I actually have this set of comics, the DC Marvel crossover from the early 90s, and it's just a one panel, one frame shot, and Darkseid finds the gauntlet and he puts it on. He's like, "What is this rubbish? I'm throwing it away."
It does nothing.
Does nothing for me. Nothing that I already can't do. So
totally not my style.
So guys, that is our Infinity War
origin series.
Really
awesome preview. I would say it's more like a study guide.
It is. It's a really good
preface even of what's to come. So I wouldn't say there's necessarily spoilers, but it's something to keep your eyes out for, and maybe you can get a little more meaning out of the movies knowing this stuff before watching the shows come out.
I think Austin had a really good idea. Maybe we should do a podcast in a few weeks on Infinity War predictions, like the week before or the week, a couple weeks before it comes out. Yeah. And just kind of like talk about what we get to do is once we see the movie, we get to come back and see if we were accurate or just totally off because you never really know what Kevin Feige and Klan have in store for us. And, you know, it's like watching Robert Kirkman from The Walking Dead. You know the comic books, but when you see it on TV, it's totally different. So, so hopefully, but we'll try and do that. And I think it's really good. Hopefully you enjoyed tonight's podcast. We have had a really good fun time putting this together for you all. And it's been so awesome because make sure that if there's parts of this that you didn't catch or you had to leave the room, make sure you go back and rewind it because there's so many great information about the gauntlet, the gems, Thanos himself, his obsessions with death and just becoming a god. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of information here that is pretty vital going into the theater before April the 27th. So it'll kind of get yourself in the mindset of who Thanos is. So when you see his backstory, you can actually, whether it's comparable to what we just gave you or different, you'll be able to have a baseline going in, and you'll understand a little bit more. So you may have two different perspectives, or you may just have one perspective. We had
talked a lot about celestial beings tonight too, and we did a whole different episode covering those in more detail too. If you're wanting, to
Adam Warlock and Celestials,
characters. Yeah, we did a lot of that.
Yeah,
that
we did. That was a great episode too. On it was about 10 ago. We did Celestials. Yeah. And so it kind of breaks down a little bit on what we did tonight. It tells you a little bit more about, you know, eternity and the living tribunal and the God of Marvel Comics. There's an actual God overseeing the entire universe.
I think we dove into death a little bit more too.
We did. It was really fun. But guys, we're getting ready to wrap things up here. Austin, why don't you lead the way here and help us wrap it up?
All right, so I want to start off by saying we are part of an amazing network called the Gunna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to gunnageek.com and check out some amazing podcasts from our home network. I am Austin Burke. You can follow me on the following dating sites: Data Golfer, Diaper Mates, Gluten Free Singles, Clown Dating, 420 Singles, Mullet Passions, and Ugly Schmucks.
Oh my gosh, Gluten Free Dating.
Mullet
so
Passions?
Fun.
Yes.
Mullet.
I guess farmers dating.
I don't even know what to say to you right now, Austin.
What was that about diapers? Diaper babies?
Diaper Mates.
Oh, Diaper Mates. Yes.
What about bigbabymanchild.com?
I'm sure that's real too at this point.
Oh my gosh. We're going to take him out back and host him off.
I guess I'm wrong with that kid.
All right, guys. You can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, all over the interwebs. And also make sure you check out PopXCast on all the social media outlets. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everything is at PopXCast. And if you're old school, you can send us comments and suggestions via email at popxcast@gmail.com. And don't forget to go by our website, popxcast.com. For all of our future past shows and anything else neat, nerdy, geeky we want to put up there, you guys can check it out there.
Absolutely. So I am Joseph Burke at Joseph Burke Arts all over the internet. And of course, hats off to my always amazing team, PopX, Mike Ippolito, Lindsay Badger, and Austin Burke. Oh, hey.
Hey. That's out.
What's up,
so
Doug?
Cool.
What's up? So cool.
Love it.
Every time I see Korg, hey, Doug's over there, but Doug's dead. Doug died. Hello. I'm Korg. Korg.
Anyway. Hello.
Oh, man. It's so fun. I love it. So be sure to tune in. That's it for this episode, episode 73. But 74, we're actually planning on doing one on Ready Player One as well. So before Infinity War comes out, we're going to be doing Ready Player One, and we're going to be doing Infinity War predictions. Man. So it's going to be a great couple of episodes coming up in April. And, yes. Of course, remember, kids, if you see a giant purple dude wearing a big gold glove, make sure to not to get into his minivan because, trust me, his stones aren't candy. It's a trap. Trust me. PopX, over and out. Take care. Bye-bye.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.